There is a beautiful new work of art in Parliament, and it's a definite must-see. And today with us, we have Mary Branson, the creator and artist, as well as Melanie Unwin, the commissioning curator. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, Amy.
Morning.
Now, Mary Branson, what was the inspiration for this beautiful, multicolored, abstract, new piece of work called New Dawn?
The inspiration came from many places, but it first of all came from the archives, and day one of my residency, I was shown by Mary and Melanie the ACT Room, and the ACT Room within Parliament was such a visual feast, so which was quite tricky actually, because I had 6 months to do research about women's suffrage and to collate a lot of information. So when I saw the ACT Room, I knew that I wanted to use that in the artwork, and that was day one.
So you got right on that track right away.
Straight away, because it's such a fantastic space. It's a room that's filled with vellum scrolls.
By vellum, explain to our readers, that is a parchment.
That's a parchment. Maybe Melanie described that properly for me.
Acts of Parliament used to be printed on long rolls of parchment, indeed, which is animal skin, and they were handwritten, and then they were rolled up, so there'd be lots of skins stitched together, and it's a great big long document. And of course, some acts were huge, and so, you know, they're rolls that are 2 foot across, maybe.
Yeah.
And some are tiny, tiny little things as well. So individual divorce acts are tiny, tiny little things.
Right, or don't put your sheep on my yard.
Exactly. And they're stored in the original ACT Room in Victoria Tower in the Palace of Westminster,
yes,
in the archives, where they're securely kept. And they're all stacked on top of each other. And it was, I have to say that, it, you know, both Mary, my colleague who's in the archives, and I really knew that it's a stunning sight when you walk into this very small room, which is floor to ceiling.
Well, it is stunning. I'm looking at a picture now, and the only thing I can tell people that are just listening to this is that it looks like floor to ceiling shelves of carpets. Looks,
yes,
like rolled, yeah, up carpets.
Very similar.
If I walked in that room, I would go, oh, I'm probably not supposed to be in here, because this is where they store the extra carpets. I mean, and they're all tagged with different colors. And that's what brought you to the use of the various colors, correct?
It was one of the things. So I really loved the imagery of looking down this corridor with the scrolls on either side. And then you had this wash of color. So it went in on a subconscious level.
Yes.
And then it came out later. But it worked with the overall ideas,
yes,
I wanted
because
to put across.
In our previous conversation, you said that you wanted to represent not only the very famous suffragettes, and that's a very dramatic story that we've,
yeah,
done a lot of work on, but also the many people who were not activists. And for,
yeah,
years and years and years, these petitions were put in front of Parliament for years.
Yes. It was the ordinary women that were coming in relentlessly day in, day in, day out, and day,
right,
in. Petitions that they were delivering and the arrest sheets, and they're never mentioned, or as far as I knew from what little I knew about how we got the vote, they weren't really mentioned, and I felt as though I wanted to represent them. And,
yes. Well, this ongoing,
yeah,
river of strength that brought this into being is very well represented in your work of art.
Yes.
It's a strong piece.
Oh, thank you very
much. I mean,
much.
It's up there with its light, and it has a metal feeling to it that it is very strong.
Oh, okay. I didn't know it was mentioned that before. I like that.
And I just want to throw out a number. 16,310?
Yes.
Did I get that right?
I think you did. So
tell me what that is.
So one of the other parts of my research, I wanted to know how large to make this artwork. And so I went to Mary and I said, how many petitions did we put in front of Parliament before we got the vote? All,
right,
the numbers.
And all of these pages stood for this great desire within the society,
yeah, yeah,
to have,
yeah,
this type of democracy.
It was, yeah. And again, it just kept on coming up in front of Parliament, these petitions over and over again. And it was over 52 years that I was looking at these petitions.
Melanie, how did Mary Branson come to your attention?
By serendipity, I think, is the answer to that. once Parliament and the Works of Art Committee, who look after the collection and decide what they're going to commission, and we as curators support that work, they decided that, so although they've been collecting suffrage memorabilia, so we have a lot of badges, we have medals, it's all quite small. It's really important historically, but it's quite hard to say, look, Parliament's really interested in this history when you have very small exhibits.
Yes.
And so they felt that there really ought to be some some new commission that really marked how important the women's suffrage campaign was. And so we were a bit worried. We wanted something that was going to make a real impact. We wanted something that was very exciting and not what Parliament thought, everybody thought Parliament might do. So we didn't want a statue, because the statue is always about one person, and we knew this was a big campaign. And we weren't quite sure where it would go, because we knew we wanted the public to be able to see it when they come to the building. But there are quite a lot of wall paintings and statues in there.
So
we let it as a research residency. And so the artist could come in and investigate the building as well as the archives and actually find the perfect space for it. And so we put out this commission document asking for applicants. It went out by email. It went to anybody. We sent it to all the sort of professional societies, artist notice boards, viral email, which has worked successfully before. And indeed, we got nearly 90 applications. And Mary was one of them. I'd vaguely come across her beforehand because I knew she'd won a competition to design an Emily Wilding Davison memorial in Epsom. But that, again, was just luck. And I didn't know her work apart from that. But I was delighted when she did apply as one of the applicants. And she was shortlisted and eventually appointed.
And, well, we're glad of that because it is a brilliant piece. And speaking of where you decided to put it, it is a site-specific artwork. And I believe that is what your degree or your
master's
is in public artworks.
So my master's was in art and space. So it's about making site-specific pieces of work.
Okay.
So the location was really is really important to me. And one of the great things about the brief for creating this artwork was Parliament wanted me to find the right space to put the artwork.
Where exactly is it and why?
Where is it? So it's in what Mary, and I've now used it all the time, describes. There's a space called St. Stephen's Hall, which is where all the visitors and all the visitors to Parliament, in fact, come in, whether business or, you know, members of the public. And it's a hall that stands on the footprint of what was the old House of Commons chamber, which was destroyed in the fire in 1834. So it's a historically important space, even though it's the 19th century building. And that is where the women protested, and it's where they came to meet their MPs and lobby, and it's where they came to hand in their petitions. And it's important because they were banned from central lobby, which of course everybody sees on the news every night, and that's where, you know, Parliament is the space that's really identified with the business Parliament. But women were banned from there because very early on in the suffrage campaign,
They made a ruckus,
and the House authorities said, OK, you're not coming in. So suddenly St. Stephen's Hall, which is sort of a corridor, a very substantial and monumental corridor, I have to say, was where women were allowed. And so that, of course, is where they came and protested. And so we
A perfect place for it.
Exactly. And so it hangs above the entrance to St. Stephen's Hall in what is a very large space that we'd all lost sight of because it was dark and dirty. It was very high up. And certainly if you put a painting up there, nobody would ever have seen it. But Mary, this was your perfect space, wasn't it?
Well, because I remember when I first started going around Parliament and I was going on the tours to be shown around all the different areas, and I was petrified because I just thought, my goodness, there isn't anywhere in the building
to put anything.
It's so full up of incredible artwork already. Every inch is adorned with something beautiful. But the only space that was really sort of like clear that could actually hold a really large piece of work was Westminster Hall.
Perfect.
I had to sort of, you know, that's where I went for. But it was the right space as well.
Because that's where they had to go.
Yeah, you know, it was a perfect combination.
Oh, that's great. Well, it does look beautiful sitting up there. Yeah. And one of the arresting things about it is this use of color. And explain to me exactly what makes that so lively. What makes them provides the motion there?
Oh, so behind each glass scroll is LED light sheet, and each of those has its own individual driver and software, so that it reads the Thames tide, and so the whole time it's moving from low tide to high tide. And it creates these very slow patterns that sort of about every 20 minutes a suffrage banner will appear. Because one of the other things that I found in my research was all the different suffrage organisations that were involved with us getting the vote. I didn't want to just make the artwork purple, white and green, because I thought that that would close down how we got the vote and the information. I wanted to put across that the how we got the vote was a much bigger movement, and involved with lots of organisations, and it was a really complex movement as
yes.
well.
And I yes. think both of those points are what really attracted the committee when Mary put her proposal for New Dawn to them. Why, one of the reasons they decided they wanted to go ahead and commission was it did those two things. It was inclusive, so it wasn't just the suffragettes, it was the suffragists as well,
yes.
Who of course were much bigger organisations, but had a different approach, and meant that they're not remembered as much now because yes. they did the peaceful lobbying and the marches, but they didn't do the things that brought
well,
a huge amount of press attention.
Press, right.
Exactly. Yeah. So that it was inclusive of all those women, and indeed men, because
and
of course there were men who supported, but all those people, this artwork encapsulated them all. It wasn't just one sector or one
right.
person.
Okay.
And the other thing was the connection with the tide. So the tide of change was a sort of iconic phrase that was used a lot by the suffrage campaigners in their publicity at the time, all of them. They wanted the tide of change. Indeed, you know, it's a phrase
yes.
we still use today
yes.
for campaigning. And so the tide of change, it's connected to the Thames, which of course runs right outside the building. And it meant that it was an artwork that not only celebrated the past campaign, but actually also spoke to campaigns today. You know, we're still looking for the
tide
of change.
We're still looking for things to change.
And the committee
exactly.
really liked that it spoke to campaigns today for equality and women's lives, not just celebrating the past, which of course is very important, but is inspirational, I
yes.
hope, for campaigns
yes.
today.
Yes, I find it very inspirational that you linked those two together, because it's not finished yet. It will
no,
never
yeah.
be finished.
It will never be finished. No.
And another interesting thing you mentioned, you didn't want the colors to just be purple, green, and white, which you see on suffragette banners.
Very much.
This was one of the first instances of an entity, a group, a company, a brand, so to speak, using a branding mechanism. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It's really interesting, isn't it? All the suffrage organisations had their own colours, and there are tens of them. You know, there are lots mm-hmm, of organisations. Mm-hmm. But, of course, the one we all remember is the Purple, Green and White of the Women's Social and Political Union, run
yes.
by Emmeline Pankhurst. And it's because they tried very hard and clearly very successfully to develop a corporate, what we call today a corporate brand, you know.
Yes.
And they used it everywhere. You know, all their followers were all instructed to, when they came out for big marches, to wear white dresses and hats. They always had to look respectable because, of course,
yes.
society, people in power were saying, oh, no, these are just, you know, wild women. They should not be taken notice of. So they always presented themselves as very respectable because, of course, they were very respectable women. But they always had these corporate colours, and then they had shops around the country that sold merchandise, tea sets, obviously badges and jewellery, but all sorts of things. And they had a magazine. And they really were the most successful at this.
Ah.
So although other have. And I think although they're perhaps the most lastingly memorable corporate, they learnt their lessons from the Abolition of the Slave Trade campaign, which had also started to understand the necessity for a strong corporate brand.
Ah.
And of course, a lot of women had been involved in that, you know.
Yes.
That was a huge campaign for women.
So
they took that early, you know, development of that and really, you know, expanded it very strongly and used it across commercial as well as campaigning literature.
Right. Well, you see the energy that that gives.
Absolutely.
You see the unity and the energy that that gives. And I can see that it would pass from the abolitionist right on in through this movement.
And absolutely. And some of them would have been the same women because, you know,
yes.
the suffrage campaign started in 1866. Well, you know, we'd only just finished, really, the abolition campaigns
yes.
at that point. So they were the same women. They understood.
How to get the word out.
How to get the word out. That's right.
Yeah. And now, Mary, tell me a little bit about your history. I find it very interesting how you came to this world of art and making site-specific art.
In another life, I was a British Airways stewardess on flying long haul for 10 years. And then I had my son and I was a single mother, so which didn't work flying long haul. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I needed to restart my career again and retrain. I'd been doing life drawing, and it was one one of those things where it was for the first time in my life I had started drawing and I forgot all the little things that go on in the back of your head, and I found that incredibly powerful. And I thought that this was, if this could make me forget myself and I could actually completely focus in the moment, that this is something that I would like to do for the rest of my life. And my teacher at that time said, I think you should do a foundation. So I did a foundation, and from there a BA and an MA. And I wasn't very good at school. I just excelled in the art world, and I just felt that it was finally I'd found a way
your
of
calling,
and a way of communicating successfully
right.
ideas.
Well, it certainly worked because you took all this disparate information and brought it into this particular work of art that can move everybody. Everyone who sees it has to understand the many facets of this situation.
Yeah.
Another thing that I find interesting, you came to art fairly late, but tell me how old you were the first time you went through Parliament.
Well, I was 50.
Okay.
Well, you know, this is the thing, is a lot of my friends as well were guilty of it. Is it's one of those things, Parliament is, one day I'll do it. There'll be somebody that will come over on holiday and we'll take them there.
And we'll take the tour.
We'll take the tour. Well, but we never do.
You toured in order to do the artwork.
Well, yes, it was right. It's such an exciting day, the day of the interview, because Melanie had sent me an information sheet saying, get there early because sometimes there's a delay. Mm-hmm. So it was 10 o'clock in the morning, my interview. So I got there at sort of like, I don't know, 9 o'clock, mm-hmm. and there was no one around. So I just got in super quickly. I don't know. I had this idea that it was going to be quite a hostile environment. But when I turned up, all the security staff, all the guides, the police, everybody was just so friendly. And I was like, oh, I'm here for an interview. And they said, well, and I sort of got here ridiculously early. They said, well, why don't you go up to the chamber and watch something that's happening in the public gallery? So as I went up to the public gallery, there was a debate about culture. I took that as a sign. But I was just blown away. I was just like, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. I couldn't believe that I hadn't ever been here before.
I know. And that's the thing about taking a tour at Parliament. Yeah. You've always heard of it.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, I'll go to London and I'll do a show. I'll do blah, 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 blah. Or I've been to London so many times, I'll just land in the airport and go somewhere else. But there is nothing like a tour of Parliament. And you're right. It is an atmosphere that you don't expect. Mm. And Miss Curator over here.
Yes.
There are how many works of art? 8,000?
Over 8,000 works of art in the collection.
Unbelievable.
And on the tour, you see all the most important ones.
And the tour is just fascinating. It's not a dry, historical,
no, I think the
big
guides
old,
do,
dusty building.
They do an amazing job. They really do an amazing job, the guides. And yeah, reports are always very good. People love the tours.
And it's English history, but for me as an American, it is also part of our history. It's where we get everything. So it's so worthwhile to take a tour, no matter how many times you've walked past it or seen it from the outside. It's so worth it to take a tour.
It is. And all the spaces that you see on the TV, you finally actually get to go to them. You go, oh my word, this place is a lot smaller than I think. This place is a lot bigger.
Yes.
And
it's almost our duty, I think, because they make it available for anyone, even me as not a British citizen.
Absolutely.
I can go in and watch debate.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, remember, debates go on into the evening. So you could just come along and join the queue. And quite often it will be quite a short queue, and just go and watch. You only have to be in there 5 minutes, or you can be in there all day. It doesn't matter at all.
It's pretty fascinating.
Go and watch and see what's going on.
Find out more at newdawnartwork.com and visit British Heritage on Facebook for updates about special things to do when traveling in Great Britain. Join us again soon here at BritishHeritage.com.
British Heritage Travel. Thanks for listening.